This is Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. Glad you could join me. I'm Cara Lawrence. Canadian musician Andrew Collins plays mandolin, fiddle, guitar, mandola, mandocello, and sings, and he's bringing the Andrew Collins Trio to Three Rivers tomorrow night to play in the beautiful Riviera Theater at 9 p.m. Andrew's on the line with me right now. Great to talk to you, Andrew.
Hi, Cara. How are you? Thank you for talking to me. It's great for me as well.
I'm going to tell you how I am, because it has to do with listening to your music. I didn't know I was feeling so stressed out until I queued up this first tune on your groove side and felt like a weight come off my shoulders and just put a smile on my face.
Well, pardon the pun, but that is music to my ears.
There's a quality right off the bat. You all seem to be having a fantastic time and loving the music you play, which is a little hard to put a finger on. So why don't we quickly share some of this with our listeners, and let's hear Famous Last Words. Andrew Collins' original called Famous Last Words. It's on a new double album from the Andrew Collins Trio. One disc is full of songs and one disc is full of instrumentals. It's called Tongue and Groove. The Andrew Collins Trio performs at the Riviera tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and I have Andrew on the line here. Would you tell me about Famous Last Words, this piece we just heard?
Okay, well, Famous Last Words is actually a tune that I wrote based on, at least the main theme of it is based on a set of chord changes from a Chick Corea tune, actually, called Senor Mouse. And we listen to, you know, if you hear our music, you'll hear how eclectic our tastes are. So anyhow, this is a tune that I've wanted to learn for years. And then I kind of decided instead of learning Chick Corea's tune, I'd kind of write a tune that was based on it. And the B part is totally different, and the melody is my own creation, and the arrangement is all trio. So it's a different take on it, but I love the melancholy of these chord changes, and so I built a tune around it.
Do you have an intense personal history of just listening hard to lots of different things since you were little?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I was really little, I had strange tastes. Like, my parents took me to see Branford Marsalis, and I loved Wynton Marsalis, and I liked classical music. But I didn't listen to anything seriously. I didn't play music as a child in any serious way anyway. Then, you know, when I was in my early, you know, 10 to 14, I guess, I just listened to, at the time, you just listened to the radio. So I heard top 40 stuff the whole time. And then I discovered, you know, when I was around 14, you know, picking my music and fell in love with Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until I was more in my later teens, like 17, 18, that I was exposed to bluegrass and this kind of music that we play, which is kind of referred to by the inner circle as new acoustic music, which is really vague because it's about making these intricately written tunes. And like the style of bluegrass music, which is, you know, a lot of technique is required to play it, the tempos and improvising is a big part of it. And there's no rhythm section, so you have to have really, really good timing. And then taking this technique and exploring jazz music and Celtic music and just opening up the door to whatever your interests are, and then trying to write music that draws from all these different styles.
Growing up in Toronto, I take it.
That's right. Born and raised.
How is the bluegrass scene in Toronto? And was there a lot of support when you got started?
Well, when I got started, it was a friend of mine in high school that exposed me to it, who I've played in a straight-ahead bluegrass band with for years, a band called the Foggy Hogtown Boys. And I went to high school with Chris Cool, who's in that band, who's a phenomenal banjo player as well. And through hanging out with him, I was exposed to the music. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s, I was 23, and I was living in Whistler. I was living as a ski bum in the mountains of British Columbia. And I finally, I wanted to play mandolin. I saw how hard Chris practiced, and I just never imagined that I'd have the tenacity to get where I'd want to get if I played the instrument. So it actually kept me from playing mandolin for a number of years. And then I had some friends that were sort of cutting their teeth with bluegrass in Vancouver, and I saw the David Grisman Quintet, and I broke down and bought my first mandolin, and then it took over my life, and it was a good choice, I think.
Did you end up finding festivals a fun place to, I don't know, play with other people and just hear what different sounds were out there?
Yeah. Before I started playing, I went to a festival with Chris. And actually, I didn't totally answer your question about Toronto, but I went to a festival with him and saw, it was a straight ahead bluegrass festival, and at bluegrass festivals, a big component of going to a festival is jamming. Mm-hmm. So a good portion of people that go to bluegrass festivals also play. It's a really cool kind of music because it encourages the audience to take it up as well. And so jamming in the parking lot and the campsite is a big part of the culture. And I was just blown away to see how many people could play these instruments so well, particularly from a perspective of having no experience. But at the time, Toronto, so when I started playing music in Vancouver, Toronto had a very small but high-level bluegrass scene. And I moved back because of Chris and some of the guys he was playing with. And I was just kind of hoping to take some mandolin lessons from a bandmate of his, and I was working pretty hard on it, but I'd only been playing mandolin for a year at that point. And I'd already learned all these tunes, and we ended up, instead of having lessons, ended up jamming, and then they just took me into the community. And even though they had way more experience, this really small group of people, there were like five guys that were around my age that were really serious about it. And at the time, Toronto had no bluegrass scene. And then the movie Brother Where Art Thou came out and really repopularized awareness around bluegrass music. And in that time, it worked well for us because we were kind of the only band in Toronto doing it at the time. But as a result of the raised awareness of the music, the scene has exploded. And Toronto actually has one of the bigger bluegrass scenes in North America of all the places that I've toured. And, you know, you could see some kind of bluegrass or old time or offshoot of this kind of music in Toronto almost any night of the week. And there are a ton of great bands that are internationally acclaimed that come from Toronto playing this kind of music, like the Slocan Ramblers and Lonesome Ace String Band. And, you know, so it's really produced a large and tight-knit community.
Wow. So from being a novice in your late teens, you were
in my early 20s.
Early 20s?
When I was 23.
you were embraced by a group of people and given a platform to explore your musical growth, ways to make money at the same time, different,
yeah.
Get a lot of stage experience
yeah.
then?
Well, and I mean, I at this time when I decided that I wanted to really work, I just decided I wanted to take a year to really work at it. And I moved back into my parents' place and practiced like 6-7 hours a day and would get together with my friends and jam and practice material. And I was out busking and doing whatever I could to have the mandolin in my hand. So in my first few years, I definitely put in, you know, in the first 6 years, I put in the average person's 15 or 20 years worth of hours because it's just all I did. And I was really lucky because these guys were seasoned and there were some really great gigs in Toronto that they included me in very early on. And there were times where I was just hanging on for dear life, trying to keep up with the tempos. But, you know, you're under fire every week, you know, several nights a week. And eventually you just can keep up. And yeah, so they really whipped me into shape.
Well, I drink whiskey, my gal drinks wine. We don't drink too much, well, most of the time. But when we do, it seems there's no doubt. You open up the little bottle and the devil jumps out.
The brand new album is a double album. It's separated into 11 vocal songs on the first part and 11 instrumentals on the second, and you called it Tongue and Groove, which is a great pun. When you perform tomorrow night at the Riviera with the trio, what's the set list going to look like? Are you going to keep them separated there too, or mix them up?
No, we mix it up. We definitely mix it up, and we'll be playing. Currently, our show is a good portion is drawn from those two albums, but we'll throw in a couple from previous albums as well. And so, yeah, the albums arose out of we've focused our music on instrumental music, and in my solo career, all my albums have been instrumental. Although in playing with the band like Foggy Hogtown Boys, we do a lot of singing, mostly singing in that band. And I also sing, as does the bass player in the trio, James McElhaney. He's a great singer. And our show has always been, you know, close to a third of it has been vocal material from all over the place that we've collected and rearranged and stuff. And so people used to come up to us on Set Break all the time and be like, oh, which album has that Roger Miller song or that song that you wrote or something like that? And we were always be like, well, we actually haven't recorded that yet. So we decided we were going to do a vocal album just to break it up from we've done two instrumental albums previously. But as the session was approaching our recording date, you know, we realized that we're still kind of known as an instrumental group. So while we're in the studio, why don't we just do an instrumental album as well? So I had about two-thirds of an album's worth of material written and got to work to write a few more. And we did a couple that we had been playing previously to that as well. It was, contrary to popular belief, it was twice the work as doing one album.
Not as efficient as you'd hoped.
Yeah, I mean, there were some efficiencies and it was, I liked, we had just done a concept album previous to that, and I liked that it was still sort of a concept album that, you know, it's you're not just putting out another album that's just a compilation of a bunch of tunes that I wrote. There's like some thought behind structuring this concept. So I like that. It makes it easy to talk about as well. It's not just, oh, these are a bunch of tunes I wrote.
My guest is Andrew Collins, a Canadian musician, multi-instrumentalist, and we've been touching on some of the highlights of his musical career. Another thing I need to point out to listeners is that your work has been recognized in Canada quite a lot. For example, the Canadian Grammys are the Junos, and you've been nominated multiple times, 6 times, for Juno Awards, and also the Canadian Folk Music Award has been awarded to you multiple times as well. So you've been celebrated in your field, in your world. We're lucky to have you come down to Michigan. Do you get down to the States very often?
The last 2 years really marked the beginning of our U.S. travels, and it's moving to be more and more of our touring is in the States these days. We're also doing, like, we're in Scotland this year, and we're going to Australia later this year. And but more and more we're touring in the U.S., which has been really great because we don't actually have to fly somewhere. It's funny, like, Canada is so spread out that I can be touring in the U.S. and have to cross a border and play closer to home than I would in Canada,
right.
Which is kind of ironic.
I shouldn't have waited this long, maybe, to ask about your wonderful musical partners. The three of you are having a great time on this album, and I think it must be wonderful as a live experience to hear the three of you. Would you introduce your compatriots here?
Yes. So I'm blessed with the opportunity to play with these guys. Mike Mezzatesta, who plays, he's also a multi-instrumentalist, plays guitar, fiddle, mandolin, mandola in the show. He plays everything with strings, and he's kind of part of the impetus of the trio. I mean, I had been planning on starting just as a side project my own thing so that I could continue playing new acoustic music, and I'd run into him out in British Columbia, and we'd jammed together a few times and we're friends already. And I was like, if you ever move back to Toronto, let me know, because I want to start a band and I really would love to start it with you in it. And a few months later, I get a phone call from him saying, hey, Andrew, I'm in Toronto, let's play. And so, yeah, we've been playing together for 7 years now. And then on bass and vocals and even playing some mandocello is James McElhaney, who's a wonderful musician and super versatile, incredible jazz player and great singer. I met him when I was actually producing a band called The Unseen Strangers. This was the second album that I was producing for them. And he was a new bass player at the time to them. And I heard him play and heard him sing and got his general vibe of, like, he's, you know, like a lot of bass players, he's the guy you always want to have around to lighten the mood. And he does that in his playing. And yeah, sense of humor is a really big part of this project for me. So it's really important that we're a group of guys that really can find the humor in music and the humor in a show and the humor in really bad puns on the road.
We've been sampling a new double album called Tongue and Groove with Andrew Collins, who will bring his trio to the Riviera in Three Rivers tomorrow night, starting at 9 p.m. I imagine you'll have the new album with you on the road?
Yeah, we'll have our roster of albums, which is, I was just looking back at the dates, and we've been consistent every 2 years. We've put out an album, and we might even have a couple new tunes.
Well, I think you'll love the beautiful old theater, the Riviera in Three Rivers, a wonderfully restored space. And I know it's hard. There's a lot of different songs and styles on Tongue and Groove, but could you pick out one song for us to finish with and give listeners a little more insight into the Andrew Collins Trio.
Sure. Well, maybe just to also introduce people to the mandocello, which is an instrument that is an unusual one, but a very captivating sound. I would recommend Cello Song, which is a Nick Drake tune, actually, and it features me on mandocello, and Mike is actually playing an octave violin, so a violin that's an octave lower than your regular violin, and James on the arco bass.
Well, thanks again for talking to me, Andrew, and have a great show tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much. We're really excited to be there.
Strange face with your eyes, so pale and sincere. Underneath, you know well, you have nothing to fear. For the dream that came to you when so young.
We heard Cello Song, written by Nick Drake, performed there by the Andrew Collins Trio. Andrew Collins is an award-winning multi-instrumentalist from Toronto, and he and his trio appear tomorrow in Three Rivers at the Riviera Theatre. Music starts at 9 p.m. Details and tickets are at trriviera.com. This interview with Andrew Collins is available on our website, wmuk.org. I'm Cara Laurence. This is Weekend Let's Hear It. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.